Wyoming Heritage and Contemporary Values Project. Ruth Miller, Wheatland, Wyoming, September 29, 1979. Interviewer Melanie Gustafson. Tape 2.
Clothes like the men when you were out working?
Oh, big overhauls, yes. And I remember, of course, when I first started to ride, it was a divided skirt. You'd make hours, you'd be hours, you know, trying to be a lady and wear skirts and like that. And then when I got to working in the hayfield, why, I just wore men's overhauls, just the bib overhauls. And then when they come out with the slacks, I'm all for it. And now I do wear them all the time because I've got bad legs and I have to wear these support hose all the time.
What about going into town? Would you get dressed up to go into town?
Oh, yes. When you go to town, you always wore a dress and was a lady and like that, you know.
Did you see that as something not really a part of you?
Yes, it really was. And we'd go to anything social or anything like that. I never cared for long dresses. They looked nice. And I had one or two, but I was always anxious to get back home, and I feel this way. I think the nice pantsuits look just as nice, and for elderly women that are so out of shape and crippled up, I'd rather see them have on a pantsuit than these short dresses. They look a lot better.
What about younger women, clothing for younger women?
Well, I don't know. I don't care for these short shorts. I think, I just don't think it's right. If you're supposed to go naked, go naked. If you're not, why, wear a few clothes. And now they have some of the swim suits that are real nice, but I do like to see the younger folks dress up more when they go. I have been to dances just like the 4-H dances and things like that. Oh, the kids come out in their overhauls and you know, kind of carefree like that. That's all right when you're working, but kind of you can wear the same thing, but have it a little neater. And you know what I mean, have your hair fixed up, and I really prefer the cosmetic part of it. I think they go out of bounds on that, too.
What about for, when you were working on the ranch, were there other women working there?
No, not on our ranch, but on their own ranch, they all worked outside.
And would they all wear just functional clothing?
Yeah, just like overhauls and a shirt.
What did the town women think of that?
They thought we was hillbillies, but so what? When they wanted to have the wrinkles taken out of their stomach, they was always out there for a good solid meal. I fed too many town people out on the ranch. I know.
What were some of the reasons that they would come visit you on the ranch?
I think just have the wrinkles taken out.
Really?
I do. No, they were friends of mine and all like that. And then they would want their kids to get out of town. They didn't want the kids in town, so would we take them? They didn't think about making extra work for the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was making it easier for them.
And would you take the kids?
Oh, sure. Good kids, we would.
Uh-huh.
And the outfit still does. And we've had the exchange students, too, up there. They've been very nice. Exceptionally nice. I wish I could say that about some of the kids that have been up there and wanted work too. And we have taken them and tried to talk to them. And I think some of them we've got quite a little ways with. How time goes on, how it'll turn out, I don't know, but then if you can help anybody, help them.
What did you do for entertainment on cold winter nights?
Well, usually you read a book. You didn't want to get out in a snowstorm. You might have to go down and see if the cow was having a calf or going to save it or something like that. And I crocheted. We didn't have any television, we didn't have a telephone.
No music?
No, no music, no radio.
Do you have a piano or anything like that?
Oh, I had one and I could learn to chord on it, but you had to be a natural them days. They, you know, no music lessons taught to anybody. I started Mick out. I wanted him to learn to play the piano, but he couldn't be bothered, and that's been on down through the family, and I could hear a song and I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed music, and when I was out, I was always whistling or singing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go out riding, why, you could practice on a lot of songs out there in the wide open spaces.
Did you ever have get-togethers of any big nature at your place?
Well, pulled a few dirty tricks.
What kind of dirty tricks?
Well, one, for instance, my dad, his hobby was raising nice chickens. So he had some nice chickens, and at that time he had a young couple, very nice couple, working for him. And Mary and I was just really good friends. We still are. Of course, they're down in Nebraska now. So Dad was county commissioner at that time. He was county commissioner for 28 years. You know, he was in public office and like that. And he didn't know what to do about chickens. So I got the bright idea we'd have a birthday party for him down at the Shamrock Station, and we'd invite the whole neighborhood. So one night he went over. It was he was supposed to come out from town, you know, because he was at commissioner meeting. We would have his birthday dinner. So we went over and we killed these 13 chickens and we fried them. We made hot rolls, potato salad, and all the trimmings. We had corn and squash and everything, and I think we made 22 pies, fresh pies. We had the whole neighborhood come in down at Shamrock, and then he come out from town. Was he surprised that we had put on this birthday party for him? So we was just fine. So a few days later, he come on over the ranch and he called me sis, and he said, "Sis, I haven't noticed my chickens around." He said, "I guess maybe Don and Mary, you know, might have forgot to shut them up." And we had lots of bobcats, you know, skunks and coons around like that. "Maybe they got them." He said, "I went out to feed them this morning. I didn't notice any of them around." And I said, "Gee, that is kind of funny." You know, I kept a straight face and all like that. So then they was going to come on over. Don and Mary was coming over for supper. And so they come on over, and we was going to play cards. The men folks were going to play cards, and I guess Mary, and then we had a couple up there working for her, and that was the Gaddises. They live over in Laramie now. Very good friends of mine. And he was working for us, so we had to get together that night. And I had got the meal for him, so I said to Mary, I looked at her a week, and I said, "Mary, did you forget to shut up Dad's chickens here about a week ago?" "Oh," she said, "that was the night we stayed in town to see the picture show. And I'll bet you I did." "Well," I said, "Dad said something about missing his chickens. Do you know anything about them?" Well, she started to laugh. And she said, "Ruth, haven't you told your dad?" I said, "Oh, no. Why don't we tell him now?" So we told him we'd kill these chickens.
Oh, dear.
Fried them all. Invited him to come to dinner.
What did he do?
Oh, he was happy as he could be.
Because
he wanted Mary to kill him.
Yeah.
And get rid of them, get them off the feed bill.
Yeah.
And he was nice, big, fat chickens, too. So we had a handy. And just a few things like that. We just made our own fun.
Mm-hmm.
Then another time, and that's when we lived in that real small house, and Nick was just a baby. friend of ours come up from town, and then we had another one that had taken a homestead up above us, and at that time they'd started to steal up there during Prohibition. Well, Dad had bought a couple of turkeys that we was going to fatten out for Thanksgiving. Well, this was just about 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, and the turkeys was nice and fat, and he roosted in the barn. Well, this one guy, he always come up every weekend. He was coming to see this widow woman that had a homestead up there where they were running the still at that time. It wasn't our land at that time, but it was pretty close to it. We had it all surrounded. So, next morning I went down to feed my turkeys. Well, Henry come up and brought the mail, and I said, we were about ready to eat supper. I said, Henry, don't you want to eat supper with us? And, oh, yeah, Ruth, I always liked your pie. So he ate supper with me and some of the other cowboys from the Diamond Ranch around. So we all ate supper together. And I was boarding a school teacher at that time, you know, because this widow woman, she had children, and there was no place for the teacher to board, so we furnished her with a saddle horse. She stayed at our place and rode to school every morning, you see. Well, he brought the mail up. The next morning I went down to feed my turkeys and they was gone. So we followed the tracks right up to the Dozier building. It had snowed, you see. And here was a few feathers. He had snitched my turkeys, taking them up there. Well, anyhow, he'd come up the next weekend. So I didn't like it. I was a little hostile about it. So the boys that was there from the Diamond Ranch, they said, well, Ruth, you'll get your turkey back. We'll be over next Saturday night. They did. The next Saturday night because Henry had come up. He brought the mail up, but he was taken this Mrs. Dozier down to the dentist down at Chugwell. And of course, you went to the team and wagon them days too. Well, the boys come over and they decide they go up and get the turkeys back. Well, it was a beautiful moonlight night, you know, fall of the year. So there was seven of us. And every one of us but one guy was riding kind of bronc. You couldn't pack anything on, so he was going to go along with us. So we said, all right, you'd have to bring the turkeys back. And one of the guys that was supposed to swipe the turkey fell through the roof of the chicken coop. Well, the grandmother and the kids, they all screamed and hollered. They heard the commotion with the chickens. Grandmother went out and shot with a shotgun two or three times. But anyhow, poor Paul, he come out of the hen coop, but he didn't have my turkeys. But he had an old gobbler, I think, that was 15 years old. Tough as bobbies. We knew we couldn't eat him. So they brought him back. We put him in the cellar. We had the cellar under the house. Next morning, about afternoon, I guess, when Henry and Mrs. Dozier, they stopped in and they had been home. They had come back down the team wagon and said that somebody had been up and broke into their hen coop and their big gobbler was gone, but nothing else was gone. Boy, the gobbler was in the basement if it ever gobbled. We'd been in the doghouse. They want to know if we'd seen anybody. No, we hadn't seen anybody. We knew nothing about it. So that afternoon, Bertha said, I'll take care of this. She brought it here to Wheatland. She knew somebody here that wanted to gobbler, so we prayed it for two ducks. So the next Saturday night, while we had a get-together, about 10 or 11 of us up to our place, and Henry come up again and brought the mail up, and we asked him stay for supper. And he said, gee, I sure do. I said, do you like duck? And he said, I sure do. Boy, he took three helpings of stuffed duck. Ate it by now. know, we made our own fun that way.
Yeah.
And it was fun. We didn't hurt a soul. Only they had to put more dirt on the roof and put a few more poles. That's
right.
All they've done. So.
Just a little bit more work.
But they had fat turkeys to eat.
Was something going on between Henry and Mrs.
Oh, he married her later on.
Oh.
At that time, but at that time she was still married to this old fellow, and he was working at our place. Her husband was quite a bit older, and they weren't getting along, and he was working at our place.
How did you feel about her?
Oh, she was all right. She was all right. If she wanted to do those things, it was all right with me. It was none of my business, you know.
Uh-huh. Was that courting that was going on with Henry and her?
Yes. Oh, yes.
What about other people? What did they think about that?
Well, there wasn't too much done in that country. You didn't like it, but you didn't do anything about it.
Uh-huh.
And nowadays, well, you just don't think anything about it at all. And it's just like I always said, it was none of my business. But they knew the teacher was involved because in the moonlight she was quite crazy about one of these guys that worked for the diamond outfit, you know, and he'd come over. And she was powdering her face and she dropped her compact out under the tree that night, you know, and the kids scouting around found her compact under the tree. But there was no snow on the ground, they couldn't trace us, so now all they did was find school teacher's compact. So they asked her about it and she didn't know anything about it. She was alone in the group. And she said, yes, that was her compact, and the kids knew it was her compact, but she said she supposed maybe when she was out walking around, like she dropped it.
Did you feel that was a bad influence on the kids?
Well, the kids didn't know anything about it. They was tough little brats. They'd done so many things, so much worse than that, but you didn't want to.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say things like that, but they were happenings. They was the truth.
Yeah, sure.
We didn't harm anybody. We wasn't hurting souls.
Oh, yeah. Was it normal to have a school teacher stay on the ranch?
Oh, sure. I boarded a school teacher for 8 years, the top mid. And the last few years, he had to ride about 4.5 miles to school.
Did you pay him?
No, the school district paid her. But we furnished a horse and saddle. She rode to school and she lived with us. And she paid me about $15 a month board.
Mm-hmm.
I done her washing and ironing and took her to town and got the meals for her and all that. Like that. They don't work $15 a month like that nowadays, do they?
No, but they don't get paid a lot for the way living is.
Well, I think they expect too much out of the teacher nowadays.
Maybe don't.
I think they expect the teacher to do too much, to go back again and say the parents want the teacher to learn the children. Teach the children a lot of things the parents should teach the children.
It must have been different having a teacher right there in your home who's teaching the children, but were there distinct boundaries between what you were teaching
it
and what she was teaching?
My son knew if he was scolded or had to stay in after school, he'd better come home and tell me the truth about it, because he was going to get a spanking when he got home, and he knew what he was getting it for. And he had to show respect to the teacher. One day, you know, teenager, he got kind of smart, but awful handy with a rope. They were riding to school, and he and the teacher got into an argument, and he picked down his rope and roped her.
It's
boy, I heard about it. didn't do it again.
Did he ever get extra tutoring at home?
No. No.
No.
No.
And you wouldn't expect that of a
child? Oh, no. He had to get his own studies when he got home. And he had a certain time after he brought in the wood and the water and things like that and had certain chores to do.
What about your social life at home? Was she included in all the things?
Everything we done, she was included in. She went up along with us just like one of the family. She went to the dances. She didn't have a boyfriend. That didn't make any difference. My husband always danced the second dance with her and introduced her to the young fellas, and she was just one of the family.
Was she your age or younger?
Oh, yes, she was. Some of them was quite a bit younger than I was.
Uh-huh.
But that didn't, you know, that didn't make any difference.
Did you consider them friends of yours?
Sure, I've heard from all of them. I still do. I got one that lives out in Oregon, comes to see me here. Out in the 8th grade. We always get together.
What were some of the, if this is too personal, that's okay, but what, you don't have to answer, what were some of the personal things you would talk about with her? Could you talk about?
Well, we just talked about different things, and not just like she was so interested in the stock. You know, when we'd have to help a cow calf or something, pull a calf or something like that. You know, she would often say, well, now, if that was a woman, how would it be? How could you help a person that way? Well, you help them the same way. Get a doctor to them or something like that. Sure, there's a lady over there at the Delano that they come over and got me, and she hatched, and I had to help take care of her and like that, you know. And they had no, the house was bitter cold. They had no wood in the house or anything, and I had my husband come over and cut some wood. I stayed over there a couple of days. The doctor come out, Dr. Rosie, and he didn't come out, and baby was all right. I would ride horseback back and forth and see how she was doing. But her husband was kind of a counterfeit devil. He wouldn't cut wood. House was cold as a barn, but they didn't stay there very long. I guess all together maybe they was there 5 months.
Was there a lot of that mutual kind of support for other women?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You always help somebody else out like that, you know.
If a friend of yours was having problems with her husband, she ever talked to you about it?
No. No. That always was a no-no.
Why was that so?
Huh?
Why was that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was just the way you was brought up. You just didn't do it.
What about people talking today? How do you feel about that? It's very open.
Yes, it is. There's a lot of things that's open, which I think is very good. Very good. And I will say this much. I think it's all right if you feel like you need to. And I feel like a lot of young people do because they're too high pressured. And I don't know what to say about it. They're pushed too much. I don't know how to express it. How would you express it?
You're doing a good job. Pressure.
Well, I don't feel like I am, but I think there's too much pressure put on the younger folks in everything they do.
Like to make something bigger than themselves by
right.
A high-paying career.
And like that. And I'm all for a career, but I think a woman's place part of the time is in the home.
Why part of the time? Why do you say that?
I don't know. I guess maybe because I was brought up that way.
But do you see that your life was in the home?
Yes.
But you did so much work outside the home, on the ranch.
13
well,
clubs.
Well, you should. You're just supposed to. That's what women was for.
But that is inside and outside the home.
Yeah.
So that is much more than.
And and I will say, I feel like nowadays that, well, I enjoy coffee breaks. And by the way, can we have a coffee break? I could.
Sure.
The coffee pot's on.
Sure, here. Can we take one now?
Yeah.
Okay. Does your daughter have.
Temporary Values Project. Ruth Miller, October 25th, 1979. Interviewer Melanie Gustafson. Her living room, a follow-up interview.
I'm curious as to why, after your stepmother was paralyzed, why you had to quit school.
Well, we was just poor folks. We lived out there in the country. And you know, we was ready for high school, and even back then, you never got a teacher to teach high school. You know, you just had to coast along. And what I mean is, we all had to work, and we was just starting out, and no way. Of course, I didn't care for school. I'll admit that.
Uh-huh.
And there was no way whatsoever, although my dad, I wanted to be a nurse. And the doctor took care of my mother, you know, Mama as I called her. He said he would take me and he would make it right and give Dad time. Well, they needed me to the point. Mama's parents was there and they was real elderly and they couldn't work. And of course, I was one of those big husky brutes.
Right.
And I worked inside and out.
Well, did you ever resent not being able to become a nurse?
No. No, I have never resented one thing. But if I had my life to live over again, I would have tried to work out some way to take a little more training in being a nurse.
Uh-huh.
Because my belief is right today, everybody should have two professions.
Something to fall back on?
Yes, that's what I mean. No, I wouldn't. I like the country. I like the ranch work. It was hard, but
yeah.
What isn't, if you want to make a go of it?
Well, did you ever think about moving from Wyoming?
Never.
Never crossed your mind?
No. No, I was perfectly happy.
Well, what made your father decide to move here, you and your mother?
Well, back there, he always wanted to come west. And you know, way back then, why, west was the new country, and he wanted to come west. But he never thought of ranching until he come out the first time, and he liked it so well.
Uh-huh.
And, what do I want to say? He didn't want to be a whistle slave. You know, go to work when the whistle blew or time clock or any of that. He wanted to work all the time, the hours he could work.
Uh-huh. Even
but,
if it meant he worked probably double the hours.
Well, oh, yes, definitely. And he worked on the railroad to help pay for the ranch. You see, because Mama and her parents, Grammy and Grandpa Dockendoff, and Warren and I, we could take care of everything there. And he was working, and
uh-huh.
at that time getting good wages. Of course, it separated the family, you know. But that's just the way it was.
But you've left the ranch now. Why have you moved into town?
On account of sickness and not my age, but the rest of the family I was taking care of.
Uh-huh.
I felt like I couldn't,
you couldn't
drive that 80 miles a day and lose my disposition and work at both places. And my husband kind of had to come down in a lower altitude on account of his health. Well, he didn't want to come, so we had to kind of do it the easy way, kind of ease out of it.
Uh-huh.
to the point, Mick kind of wanted to run the ranch, and he was married, and he was the only one. And, in a way, between father and son, the young people, they know what they want to do. And, of course, the old folks don't know anything until the kids get about 40, 50 years old.
Yeah.
And when they're starting out, they have their own ideas. And I don't mean to say they're not good. They're wonderful. But I think I still feel like experience should go along with the deal.
Sure. And you know what the experience was.
I kind of a bad eye. My eyes are watering so bad. Darn it.
Well, you'll have them checked soon.
That's why I'm going down to have them checked. It'll be all right.
Yeah. Did you see yourself as marrying a rich rancher's son when you married?
No, I just, I was wanting to get ahead and like that. And, of course, kid like, you go with different ones. Well, everyone I went with didn't have a red cent, but they was all good scouts. They didn't have any future. They was working for wages or anything like that. Well, Grammy and Grandpa docked off. Dad never said one word. They kept saying, oh, you don't want to go with them. They haven't got any future. They can't do anything for you. Well, the one I married went broke, so we started up the hard way.
How did you go broke, the family?
Well, I tell you, he didn't like the idea of, he could kind of see ahead of time, but he bought into oil stock. He wanted to make some of this fast money. And even back in those days, the banks just went so far. And you invested so much, they had to say, well, you haven't got enough back of you, so we'll have to do something about it.
What year was that?
That was 20 and 21.
Well, and did you lose money again in 30?
Yes.
Did you have any?
Well, to the point was cattle went down. We had enough cattle, but we didn't sell them, and the drought come on, and the government can't kill them. And we didn't get anything out of them. We got a little out of them, what was it, $17 a cow or something like that.
Yeah.
And when you have to let 500 head of cattle go at that price,
you lose.
You lose.
Yeah.
And another thing, we couldn't, at that time, the drought program didn't come on. That is, in all due respect to Uncle Sam, everything was done in Washington. The people in Washington don't come out here and work and know what conditions are.
Uh-huh.
They just sit on their one spot and read about it in the paper. And they didn't realize that we needed feed for those cattle, and we had to have money to buy feed, or they was going to starve to death. But when they finally registered, then we got staked again, and we could buy the feed for the cattle. But we had to get rid of so many of them and lost so many of them that it made, kind of a hardship.
Yeah.
And we had no feed. We'd grazed off. Boy, we had to even pack our drinking water from a spring that never went dry, or hadn't, but it got awful low. And I had to go take my washing over to my dad's and pack the water quite a ways, almost 2 blocks, heat it in a boiler, and do my washing over there, pack the clean clothes back, horseback, do the ironing over home, get the meals, take care of the garden, and whatnot. Didn't hurt me a darn bit.
Good for you.
And I tell you, it makes a person realize how they got it.
Yeah.
And as I say, having good health. Of course, my health went haywire in the 40s, which kind of set us back again, too. Well, my health started breaking a little bit before that, but I wouldn't give up. But as I say, I bought the east wing of the Presbyterian Hospital in Denver that one summer. But anyhow, I got back on my feet again.
When you were out on the ranch during those days, did you ever come into town for clubs, to do club work?
No, never did. We just come to town for groceries, and when we'd come to town, we'd take the full day. We'd meet so many friends we knew, and we'd just visit on the street and like that. And maybe we wouldn't leave town till midnight and have to shovel part of our way home in the wintertime, but it didn't bother us. Put chains on, have the chains break, have the car stall.
You must have lots of stories about the travels.
Yes. And of course, we didn't have a phone until in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't have a phone at the ranch. We had the little individual ones that we got from Monkey Ward's, you know. That is from where Mick and his wife lived, to my place, you know, to where I lived.
Uh-huh.
Which they lived in that little house there, and we lived in the big house. And it was just a little individual, phone that we had, like that. But we had left the ranch before they got the telephone up there. But we were there when the REA, and thanks to Ward and Lily Goodridge.
Really?
They worked hard to get us in on the REA, and it cost us plenty.
Uh-huh.
But we got back on our feet, and it's wonderful. Wouldn't be without it.
Well, what did Lily have to do with that?
Her husband, I don't know how many trips he made to Washington, D.C., and fought for this country, this Wheatland District, all around here to have the REA. And if it hadn't been for Ward and Lily Goodridge, a lot of people on the flats would never have had electricity.
Would Lily go with him?
Yes, she always went with him. She was a good scout.
Uh-huh.
And he went back to Washington, I don't know how many times, just on his own time and money, to try to get it over to the people in Washington that the people out here needed that.
Right.
I guess they still thought the Indians was going to take care of us. I don't know what else they thought, but then, in all due respect to Washington.
Right.
It's the best place in the world, but they don't understand.
Well, would Lily come back then and tell you about what happened and bring you up to date?
Yes, and they would have the meetings and everything and how much it would cost us.
Uh-huh.
And then they went out and helped survey the land and everything. They've been out in all kinds of weather, right along with the boys when the REA started here. And it was through him that it got started. A lot of people don't think so, but I still say it was.
Uh-huh.
You've got to have a person that's got enough backbone to get right in there and fight.
Yeah, and it sounds like he did.
Yes, he did. He done wonderful.
And she did too. That's nice. And she did too.
Yes, that's right. That well, nice what I mean is she was right by his side all the time.
And that's the way most people work.
Well, that's the way you have to work to make a go of things. Or that is, I feel like that's the way you're supposed to do it, according to Hoyle.
Did you ever consider joining the WCTU?
Huh?
Did you ever consider joining the WCTU?
Mm-mm.
How come?
I don't know. I just didn't. When I got involved in other things and then when the folks get kind of poorly and to try to keep up, why, I didn't. I joined the local things, yes. At one time, I belonged to 13 or 14 different outfits.
Right.
And then, you know, when you have to come down from up there in the hills for a meeting or anything, you're putting in quite a lot of mileage,
uh-huh.
a lot of time.
But would you be interested in hearing what was going on with different?
Oh, yeah. And we kind of kept up on things that way, you know. And we had the radio, you know, when the radio first came out, of course, the way we had it, had earphones, and we just divided it up, and each one would listen so long to hear what was going on. But, you know, way back then, the radio wasn't as common as it is now.
Right.
Now I forget to turn it on. Well, just for the local news, but I do try to listen to the TV,
uh-huh.
and then I do take a daily paper.
Was there local news on the radio then?
No.
No, it was all national.
No, we had to kind of get it, you know, out of, well, one of our favorite stations was KLZ. We listened to KOA. And we tried to listen to the weather and keep up on the weather. Of course, you could look at the sky and
uh-huh, right.
and do a few things like that, you know. But you kind of learn to make a guess at it.
Yeah.
And
did you ever get help from the Farmer's Almanac?
No, we always had it. But I guess I learned the hard way.
Oh.
But it didn't work one time. Why? Well, it had to work another time.
Uh-huh.
And you just, what I mean is, you just wanted to keep on trying. Or you could learn from what the neighbors had done. We always exchanged ideas.
Uh-huh.
You know, like in raising garden and canning and everything like that. And you know, with our programs, school programs, back when Mick went to school, we just had, just about three or four social gatherings for the school. But we never missed one of those. They'd come for miles around.
And what would go on at the social gathering?
Well, I don't know. It just, you just kind of visit with the neighbors and talk about the weather and kind of figure out games or something else for the young folks. You know, to play, and we always had the teachers back in those days, which the teachers are very good nowadays, but they had wonderful programs. But we had no plays or anything like that, you know.
Uh-huh.
You get up on the stage and speak a piece or sing a song or stand on your head or, you know, kind of reenact just kind of the ordinary life.
Uh-huh.
The kids would, you know, what the parents done and like that, you know.
Did you enjoy those?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Anything, it kind of gave you new ideas, and then you had to kind of get up and kind of figure out new ideas, what would come up, and you talk it over with the teacher. And of course, I boarded the school teacher all the time when Mick was going to school, and then I boarded the teacher for 2 years before he went to school. Just, you know, a dollar was a dollar, and if you got $10 a month and done her washing and ironing and waited on her, why?
Did you feel like you were waiting on the school teacher?
Well, some of them was real good scouts.
Uh-huh.
Other ones kind of wanted to be babied, but if I got around to it, I helped them.
Uh-huh.
But as a rule, they was all very efficient, even for back in those days.
As school teachers?
Yes. Yes, very good. And you know, you could come out of high school and teach the following fall.
Right. Well, and they none of them were married.
No.
What? No. Were there ever married school teachers in this?
No. No, they was all single girls that... Well, the last year, two last years of mixed schooling, they was married.
Uh-huh.
But they had quit teaching, but then they'd come back in just to, you know, kind of get a start and help out on the...
What whatever was needed.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh, whatever, you know, the couple needed and like that. Well, if somebody could teach school and they didn't have anything to hold them back, why, they would teach, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the wages wasn't near like they are now. And neither was the board or room.
Right. But you gave a lot of your time so that the school teachers could stay there and teach.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Would you socialize? Did you ever become close friends with any of the school teachers?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And we used to go together, you know, and go to the dances together, you know, and all like that. If they didn't have a boyfriend, we always saw that they got to go. And, of course, that back in those days, we did, the last of it, kind of have a car, but load everybody up in the car and go to the dances.
Uh-huh. Well, what about, Hattie Utter mentioned that when she was boarding at one place, she learned fancy work. Because when they'd come back from the school after the school hours, the woman of the ranch would say to her children, "Oh, go play with Hattie."
And like
that. And she didn't like to do that, so she learned fancy work so she could fill up her time.
Sure. Well, I tell you, I learned. Fancy work. I always done quite a lot. Oh, I done an awful lot of crocheting and like that. But the folks tried so hard trying to make me be a lady, which I never was. I couldn't be bothered. I kind of wanted to romp. I was more the outdoor type. And they would make me sit and hem dish towels. I had to learn to hem. I had to learn to darn socks. I wasn't bad at it. But nowadays, I darned socks for Mick when he went to school, but gee, when he got in high school, he wouldn't wear anything that was mended. And they're still that way. And now I can't get over it. They have to wash the overalls before they'll wear them. And then they want to cut the legs off and make them all jaggedy. Good pair of overalls that a lot of wear in. That don't seem right, but then it is. But we'd make quilts and do all kinds of fancy work and things like that. And lots of times, well, we did have a club meeting, a club out there that we belonged to, but everybody took their fancy work. When I go any place now, I take my crochet. Even yet.
Yeah.
Well, why waste your time? I crochet when TV's on.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, are the quilts in your family now?
Some of them are, yeah. Uh-huh. But I've given most of them away.
Who do you give them away to?
Well, I've given them away to my niece and to my son.
Uh-huh.
I have my grandmother's. He has one of them. Of course, it's very delicate. You know, way back when, the stitches, they break. But they were quilted. They was done in white. And you don't wash them very often now because they'd fall apart. And I remember, oh, way back in the 30s, I started, and that's when Mick was going to school here. The first 2 years he went to high school, I come down after the fall work was kind of done, rented apartment to get his meals. And I started a velvet robe, this transparent velvet. Well, I made three of them. I have one of them left. And the other one I gave to a friend of mine, she gave it away, and the other one got burnt.
Oh.
But I still have the one, but oh boy, it's sure delicate.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, did you see these as something that you could give to your children, to your child, to give on to your family?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was it a heritage type of thing that was passed?
Well, it was more like quilts or afghans or stuff like that. And then, of course, before it was married, why, as I say, instead of a hope chest, I call it a despair barrel.
Why?
Well, you make all these fancy things, and then you moved into a three-room shack, and you didn't get to use that stuff. It didn't look just exactly according to Hoyle, all this embroidered stuff and cut work. And it just didn't fit in. And you didn't scrub that on the scrub board or put it on the stove and boil it.
Right.
To keep it white, so old times has changed.
Would you ever go visit the homesteaders for any reason? Was there any visiting between?
Oh, yeah, like when we'd be riding for cattle, we'd drop in for a meal and pass the time of day, you know, and they'd do the same. You never knew when somebody's going to drop in on you. And if they come at 10 o'clock, you always asked them to stay for dinner.
Well, did the women from the homesteads, did they look up to you?
Well, no, they was always glad to show you how to do things. And I will say this much, I can't get used to it now, because when Mick was married, the daughter-in-law would just, why, you wasn't going to eat a meal at their house. She wasn't going to cook for anybody. And I never could accept that.
Well, you were used to making meals for anyone.
Huh?
You were used to making meals for anyone.
Sure. Whether they were strangers or not. But nowadays you have to call and say, I'll be out for dinner. Do you want anything? Or else you never go any place, you take something. Heavens. That hadn't ought to be.
It's a changing world.
Right. And as I say, I know things is altogether different. You have to accept it. But, to accept it, some of the ways that some of them do, I don't like it.
Well, if you could describe a better world today, how would you describe that?
Well, I think that people should be more generous. I don't mean it money-wise. I mean they should be more generous with their time and with the work they do to help somebody else out that needs help. To kind of, there's a lot of people that need help. Or they need to have somebody go in, sit down, and talk to them. Or kind of, take a pan of cookies, take a piece of cake, take a half a pie, and do things like that. Because everybody's too busy. Rush, rush, rush. So what? Time's going to go on anyhow. I don't know. I'm accepting it. But there's a lot of things going on I don't like.
Uh-huh.
That is, I'm liking it because I'm not paying it any attention. I guess too much in the past. Because I think the generation back there in those days, the people was more... I don't know what to say. They weren't as selfish as they are nowadays. And what I mean is they was always willing to give somebody a hand. And what I say, making a good hand, you can come in and get a meal in a few minutes, you can go out, you can ride a horse, you can drive a tractor, drive a team of horses, or work in the garden. Any place they put you, or if you have to be a lady, you can dress up and be a lady. And now that's what I call a good hand. And not be afraid to work. And I don't like this idea of trading your bed for a lantern. I'm too youth.
What do you mean?
Staying up all night, not getting up until...
Oh, okay.
the wee hours.
Yeah,
like that. Because I was brought up at 5 o'clock, you got up, you was ready to do a day's work. If you didn't stay up all night, which we did going to dances. You come in and changed your clothes and went to work. You didn't lay down.
Oh, I'm tired. I got to be rested.
So what? I think they was more rugged individuals at that time. I've been
what?
Gassing all the time now, running off at the mouth.
No,
but that
no.
is just really, this is just the way I feel about it.
Well, I want to hear how you feel about things.
Yeah, and as I say, I think things, even at my age, and a lot of my friends that can get around more than I can, I think they ought to be willing to help some of those that are handicapped.
Oh, I'm tired, I can't do this. Oh, it takes gasoline.
So what? They get in the car and drive out in the country for a drive, which is perfectly all right. Why don't they take somebody along? Let them appreciate it too.
Yeah. It would be nice, huh?
Yeah, you know, and these, I think there's a lot of people could deliver meals to these people that can't get out. Where we have the center, and they need help. They need volunteer help.
Uh-huh. And they can't get it?
They can't get it. Because a lot of people don't want to put themselves up.
Yeah.
Maybe that ain't the right way to look at it, but that's just the way I see it.
You're the most generous person I've talked to in a long time. Some people don't feel the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
How would you say in 1930 describe a strong woman?
Well, I'll tell you, as I say, I'd like to see him be a good hand, all-around hand, be able to do anything and everything, just to get a meal, to ride a horse, to cut wood, to haul wood, harness a team, sit down and be a lady, or anything like that, but always be ready to go. To the point, back in those days when they needed repairs. Sure, I could drive a car, I could go down and get the repairs, be back. They could go ahead with the other work, see, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And to be strong enough, not go, oh, I got a headache, I got a toe ache, or I got this, or I got that, or my back hurts. And I have always felt this way. Sure, we all have aches and pains. But I have felt like I can get interested in my work if I do have these aches and pains. But if I get to where I'm not interested, I'm sick. And I ain't going to mess around about it. I'm going to call a doctor. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, kind of, oh, maybe for a day or two I'll put up with it, but I can't be bothered. I got too many things I want to do.
What about town women then? Back then, how would you? What do you think was most important for them?
Back in those days.
Yeah.
Well, I maybe shouldn't say, they had their good times, their bad times, and probably they kept their house, but I think a lot of their time was wasted. To the point, of course I waste time now, I got no room to talk, playing cards and what have you. But I really don't believe in a woman getting out and working, holding down another job if she's got small children. I believe their place is in the home. As soon as the kids are up, ready to go to school,
That's all right, part-time work. Be there when they leave and be there when they come back.
What about women who don't have a husband?
I'm all in favor of them working. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I really feel like that they should have a job or two they can fall back on, as well as kind of keep up or do what they really want to do. Mm-hmm. I think everybody should have a goal.
What about, so you agree with career women once the children are raised, or?
Yes, I think that's perfectly all right. If that's what they feel like, they're not going to make good mothers. You know, that's the way I look at it.
What about women in politics?
That's all right. I think they'd go too far.
What do you mean?
I think they want to be the big shot.
Do you think that's reserved for men?
Not entirely. I believe a woman should help her husband, but not to go out to the point of wanting to be all just sociability or something like that. I believe that she should understand her husband's wishes. But the way politics are now, it's just kind of a dog-eat-dog. And there's no difference in the parties, six of one, half a dozen the others. And I happen to be a Democrat.
What if, and what was your husband? Was he a Democrat?
Oh, yes. My gosh, there's been more family arguments, but he hasn't changed my mind a bit. I believe in voting for the person.
And he votes straight party line?
Yes.
What about your parents? Well, your father.
He was a Democrat, too. But he went to as many, I think, if not more, Republican parties. They always invited my dad. He couldn't have been county commissioner for 28 years when the county first started down here. He was good any place you put him.
Yeah.
And he was very liberal. He voted for the man, and that's what I believe to do. Uh-huh. Or the woman. Now, if a woman's a good hand, I believe she should go into a county or state office. Well, now, we've had some wonderful, like, county superintendents and like that.
What if someone like Ruby Pruitt ran for, like, mayor? What would you think of that?
Well, she's all right, but I like Ruby. I think Ruby's a wonderful person, and I think she done a good job in the library and all like that, and I do like, but this is what I would like to see, both men and women, when they get up about close to the 70s, sometimes in the later 60s, just fold up.
In politics.
Now, if they're running their own business, that's all right.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I mean in politics. Now, there's a lot of young ones coming on that's got good ideas. There's a lot of young ones coming on that, well, anyhow, they'll be just like some of the old ones. And I thoroughly believe, like in Washington, I think they ought to throw a lot of them out.
Because of age?
Yes, I do. They'd have to burn the place down to get rid of them. I don't believe in anybody kind of monopolizing everything.
How do you feel about the Supreme Court, then?
They got some good men in there. But I just don't hardly know. I haven't been reading up too much about that.
Uh-huh.
But they've got some good ones coming on.
Uh-huh.
But another thing, I believe what I want to say in an older person like myself, you get too set in your ways.
You think you know what's right. And you're right to a point, but then maybe the point's getting dull.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution, that gives equal rights for women?
I think that's all right, but I think women are going too far.
How when you were growing up, how did you feel about the suffrage movement that had been in Wyoming? Did you ever hear about that?
Oh, yeah, I heard about it. And I believe a woman should have a right to vote just as well as the men.
Uh-huh. But what, you don't agree with the other issues today? What's going too far?
Well, I don't know just how to say what I think's going too far. Now, say, like, you know, in the state office. If you got a good person in there, keep them in so long, but not figure they can't get along without them. Nobody's so good, but what?
Are you talking about somebody specific?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. No, I'm not. That's just the way I feel. Because
uh-huh.
There's lots and lots of good people in this world.
Well, do you believe that if a woman is working because she has to work, that she should get equal pay?
I do. She's working just as hard. And, you know, it's quite a deal for a woman alone to manage, especially if she has a family.
Uh-huh.
I believe they should have equal rights.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know if this is right to ask you because I know you did have some miscarriages, but how do you feel about abortion?
I believe in this day and age, people shouldn't bring so many kitties in the world unless they can take care of them. There's too much child abuse. There's too much kids kind of getting out and running the street. I think something ought to be done. I am not for it, I'm not against it, but I think the couple should kind of look ahead. You know, back in the olden days, they couldn't.
Right.
It was just they hatch every year, you might say.
Uh-huh.
But I believe that that is one good thing. But here's another thing. I think the preventatives they're using is injuring a lot of people's health.
You mean like the pill?
Will injure their health as they get older. Now, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know that, but just from what little I've read.
Yeah, they're finding that out a lot.
It can cause other things.
Right, cancer.
Yeah. As I say, I don't know whether that's right or wrong. And now I have a few, and of course, you know how like the old saying was, well, a Catholic always has a large family. I have some very, very wonderful friends that are Catholics. And I know of two girls especially. They have got two children. And I think that's all they should have. And I don't believe anybody should come in and say that they're supposed to have more. I believe that is her idea and her husband's idea. I don't believe in anybody else interfering that way.
Even the government?
That's right. That's right. Why should the government come in?
And the church shouldn't interfere.
And the church is the same way.
Was there a lot of Mormon influence in this part of the state?
Oh, I don't really think there is.
I didn't know.
Yeah. I feel this way now, just as I'd say about the Catholics. I think
They are a lot. I don't mean they weren't broad-minded before, but they're more so on different things now than they, well, just like me being set in my ways.
Uh-huh. What about Indians? Did you ever come into contact with Indians out on the ranch?
No.
There was...
Mm-mm.
You no. never heard about... Did you ever hear about Indian reforms that were going on in the state? Changes that were taking place?
No, I have read a little about it, but as I say, I don't read too much about it. But I feel this way. They have as much right to this country as we have. They have as much right to a good education as we have. The Negroes do too. All foreigners do. Because I still say this here, getting the idea that we're so much better than them, that is out. It's what's underneath that counts. Color, anything like that. And the American people is all right. They've done a lot of nasty things too.
Yeah, we fight just as hard.
Yes, you betcha.
Yeah. Do you have anything you want to tell me?
Well, I think I've told you an awful lot so far. That just my idea. Don't get me wrong. It's just my idea.
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah. That's the way I look at things.
Yeah. Shall we stop now?
Huh?
Shall we stop now?
Sure. Just...
Okay.